We're reading from God's Word this evening, Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4, 1 through 9. The Apostle Paul is writing this from a Roman prison. He's writing to encourage the Philippians to have the mind of Christ, the mind of a servant. And as he begins to conclude his letter to encourage the believers in Philippi, this is what he writes in verses 1 through 9 of chapter 4. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Udia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's bow in prayer, asking the Holy Spirit to show us the Lord Jesus Christ in this passage. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have promised us peace that passes all understanding in the midst of every circumstance of life. God, we pray that you would teach us from this passage how to offer to you our prayers with thanksgiving, so that we might learn to experience your peace in greater ways, to overcome the poison of anxiety. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Philippians 4, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, don't be anxious, but make requests to God with thanksgiving. So there are really two key words in the passage in this verse. Worry is put over against thanksgiving, because we are commanded, well, don't worry about anything. That's a challenging and difficult command. Don't worry about a single thing. But then God gives a remedy. Don't worry about anything, because you're casting your burdens and cares on the Lord, but with thanksgiving to Him. So worry is put against thanksgiving, the problem and the remedy. And when you look at the word worry, well, what does it mean? It means a fear over that which is in the present and that which is in the future. An overwhelming worry. Actually, the word was used of a rope, and you'd have two teams pulling on the rope and it would tear it. The idea that anxiety tears your insides apart. It gnaws at us and it weakens our strength to serve God today. So far from adding anything to life, anxiety subtracts from our life. It's a thief. Worry is a thief. It steals our time. Our thoughts can constantly turn to our trouble. And rather than praying about our troubles or doing what God calls us to do about them, we waste our time in worrying about them. But worry also steals our rest. We can lie awake at night turning over in our mind that worrisome situation that is causing our hearts to toss like a boat on a stormy sea. And it deprives us of our rest, so that when we wake up in the morning, we don't even have the strength we need to work hard that day, and we feel ill-equipped to handle the day. But worry steals our health because it can cause us to suffer the physical effects of the anxiety that's tearing us up inside. Worry steals our obedience as it tempts us to be irritable towards other people, to doubt God, to fall into addiction or laziness, or the reverse of that, which is overwork. Worry steals our hope because our whole mind and heart fears the worst is going to happen. All kinds of difficulties enter our minds, most of which don't happen. I found a quote from Soren Kierkegaard that speaks to this. Worriers feel every blow that does not fall, and they cry over things they will not lose. What a sad waste of time worry is, and yet we struggle with it almost daily. Worry shrivels the soul. It robs us of our joy, and it depletes our spiritual energy to face the challenges of the day. A few things are more discouraging to our spirits than worry, destructive to our contentment and detrimental to even our witness for Christ. So the Apostle Paul, writing from prison, not knowing how long he's going to live, the Roman emperor at any moment can give the orders for his execution, is writing that instead of worrying, we are commanded to be thankful. So worry is put over against thanksgiving. But if you look a little carefully at the passage, it is a little contrary to what we might think. We would expect Paul to say, look, pray about your anxieties, pray about your burdens, pray about your fears, and when God gives you the answer, then thank him. But he doesn't say that. He says, before you get the answer, as you are praying, give God thanks, because every event, no matter how little or how great, every event, no matter how dark or how dramatic, is an event that God is working his purpose for your life through. So be thankful, because God is sovereign. Be thankful because God is working out his purpose in your life through that circumstance or even that person that you may be in conflict with. God is still in control and still in charge. The Apostle Paul is saying, affirm your trust that God rules over this world, and God rules in your life. In fact, God rules in such a detailed way, he even knows the number of hairs on your head. His providential care extends to every single area of life. And there are two wonderful verses that speak of God's sovereign care. One is Genesis 50:20, where Joseph says to his brothers who betrayed him, his brothers who threw him into a pit to die, his brothers who wanted to kill him and then sold him to some traitors. God eventually uses all of the evil intentions of his brothers to raise Joseph up to be the prime minister of Egypt so that Joseph could provide for his own family, from whom the Lord Jesus Christ would eventually come. And then when they finally realize it's Joseph, they're fearful. They're wondering what will happen to them. I'm sure they felt very guilty. And Joseph comforts them by saying, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to accomplish his will and his purpose." And then there's Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God. The Apostle Paul says all things, even the bad things, will ultimately be overruled by God in such a way that what is of evil intent will have the opposite effect. It will be something that God works his glory out of, his good out of, despite the circumstances, because God is sovereign. We are to trust him. Because God is sovereign, we are to thank him even before or as we're making our request to God. Lord, this is a difficult situation. I feel overwhelmed by it. But I know you loved me and you gave your son for me. And if you gave the most precious gift in the universe, you will give me everything else I need in life. Give me your grace. Give me your strength. God is on the throne of our lives, and we can thank him in every circumstance, in every situation. And that's where our contentment comes from. How was Paul able to be content? You know, he learned contentment through his circumstances, he writes. He learned contentment, he says, and he went through situations like being shipwrecked, being beaten, being imprisoned, having people who he proclaimed the gospel with stone him and leave him for dead. How could he be content? Because his greatest love and his greatest rest and his greatest trust was not in things and people who change, but in God who never changes. The reason he could be content is because he could pour out his burdens and cares to God with thanksgiving and trust and rest in God's love that never changes. As we thank God for the daily ways he meets our needs and the mercies he bestows, he gives us food, he gives us clothing, he gives us family, gives us friends, he gives us a nation where there's freedom. But God's greatest blessings are the things he's given us that nothing can take away. Our forgiveness and salvation in Jesus Christ. The assurance we have that even death cannot take away the love of Christ. It can only make it better. Because then we're beyond this life of suffering and pain and the struggles with our own sin to a life of pure delight and pure joy with the Lord. I had a great, to me it was a great picture of God's peace. Saturday morning when the wind was howling at 30 to 40 miles an hour, we have a big elm tree in our backyard. And I noticed something was on a knob that once was way at the top of the, about three quarters up on the elm tree. There was something there that I glanced at, and it was seemed secure on a knob of wood that was once a branch. And I looked closer, and it was a squirrel. And the squirrel had dug its clawed feet into this knob, and it was holding, clinging to, an acorn. And the wind was blowing against its tail. The wind was blowing against its head, its fur, but the squirrel was unmoved. nothing could pry its feet loose. To me, that was a picture of this passage. Because the Apostle Paul is declaring his life is resting on God. So no matter what winds are howling around him of trial, even Roman imprisonment, because he cast his care on God, who never changes, nothing can pry him loose from God's care, God's sovereign care, and God's sovereign love. And that's why he can be thankful. Thankful to God. So as we think about Thanksgiving, let's remember to thank God for the indescribable gift of forgiveness that can never be taken away. Yes, our health can be taken away. People we love can be taken away. Even our finances, that can be taken away. But Jesus Christ suffered on the cross, bearing our sin, so our forgiveness and the assurance of God's love can never be taken away. And so when we go through grief and tragedy, as well as blessings and joys, it is God who, yes, gives it all. Why? So that we might know in times of joy, it's God who's the giver. Focus on the giver. And in times of grief, it is God who is going to walk through it with us and not fail us. So let's remember to be a thankful people every day of our lives.